The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw all this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Whenever we have this combination of readings, it seems like, at least I always skip right to Zacchaeus, because it's such a great story, right? It's the story of all of us, right? As we're seeking to see God. What is it we need to do to overcome our own personal limitations? In his case, he's just too short. But we have all kinds of limitations that keep us from seeing the Lord. But when we really think about that, who is the Lord that we're seeking, and what is the impression that we have of him already? Which is why I got so interested in the first reading today, because I've always kind of overlooked this reading from the Book of Wisdom. And if you ever have a question about who God is or what God might be to you and to his creation, this is such a beautiful reflection. I want to step through it kind of slowly this morning. And I want you to share this with people in your life, because this is a beautiful, beautiful reading that we overlook too quickly. The writer says, "Before the Lord, the whole universe is as a grain from a balance." Now remember, at the time of the Book of Wisdom, nobody had any idea what the universe even was, as we do now. It is literally endless. "Before the Lord, the whole universe is as a grain from a balance, or a drop of morning dew come upon the earth." The whole universe. So it's so unlikely that we would have any kind of a relationship with such a being. Don't you imagine? I mean, think of the immensity, the impossible grandeur of this being that is being spoken of. And yet we know that we have a relationship with God. Such unlikely behavior of so great a being. How is it possible that I can even address such a person who has a relationship with me, who am nothing? The writer continues, "But you have mercy on all, because you can do all things." I don't think I ever really thought before about how God possibly could, because he can do all things, he can be merciful with us. It's one of those impossible things that he can do. "And you overlook people's sins so that they may repent. For you love all things that are and loathe nothing that you have made. For if you hated it, you would not have fashioned it." God only makes what is good and what is loved. That includes all of God's creation. God only makes what is good and what is loved. And then he says, "How could a thing remain unless you willed it so, or be preserved had it not been called forth by you?" It reminds me of a Monsignor from Kansas. He was in Wichita, Kansas. So he used to say to people, this is like the message of his life. He would always say, if God did not will that you be here at this very instant, you would not be. It is because God remembers us that we are. We are so completely dependent upon God. I would not be here if it were not for him. The writer continues, but you spare all things because they are yours, O Lord and lover of souls. For your imperishable spirit is in all things. Your spirit is in all things. Therefore, you rebuke offenders little by little. You warn them and remind them of the sins they are committing, that they may abandon their sinfulness and believe in you, O Lord. That's a fantastic meditation for today. Go back and look up this reading again and spend a little time with it. Because oftentimes when I'm talking with young people or other people perhaps who've left the church, they say they don't really believe in God anymore sometimes. And I say, well, who is this God that you believe in? Tell me about him. And then they start to talk about this God. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't believe in that one either. You have it all wrong. That's not who God is. But everybody has these ideas about who God is, and they need to know more. So now it's when we come to the story of little Zacchaeus. First of all, he's the enemy of the community. He's a Jew, but he's also a tax collector, which means he's taking the money and giving it to the Romans. So that's strike number one. Strike number two, it's possible that he's been rather dishonest in what he's doing. Because when he comes to the point of confessing to Jesus, confessing his faith, he says, okay, I'm going to take half of everything I have. I'm going to give it to the poor. And if I have extorted anyone, this is an admission of guilt, right? If I have extorted anyone, I will repay it four times over. So but he has this moment of change because he's gone to the effort to see the Lord. The Lord, who is the same infinite being spoken about in the Book of Wisdom, to which the entire universe is like a grain of sand, who has no reason to have to love any of us, but does, because that's who he is. Zacchaeus takes makes the effort to climb that tree, to go see who Jesus is, and Jesus recognizes it right away. And he says, Zacchaeus, come out of that tree. I'm gonna eat at your house today. Of course, everybody around them, I guess, the crowd, it doesn't really identify who they are, but I'm assuming it's the crowd. The crowd says, well, look, he's going to go have dinner at a sinner's house. Which I think is probably just, I don't know, I think that's a beautiful thing. That Jesus is going to have dinner at Zacchaeus' house. And that's when Zacchaeus, in defending himself, Zacchaeus says, this is what I'm going to do to change. And what does Jesus say? Today salvation has come to this house. Salvation has come to this house. Because the one that was lost has been found. If we could develop in our own lives and in the lives of the people we love this sense of the irresistibility of God, this God who is so great and yet so intimate, to be able to say to others, this is who I believe in, you need to know this God, to be able to then seek him to do what's necessary to overcome our own personal limitations so that we might see the face of Jesus as he walks by. He walks by in every person that we meet, doesn't he? He walks by in every person who is struggling or suffering, every person who is being successful in their life. God is there. When I was teaching altar servers yesterday, we bow to one another at the Mass because we bow to Christ in one another. We recognize Jesus in one another. And that ability that we have to be able to recognize that infinite God of love and mercy in one another is irresistible. To be able to recognize that, to seek him, and to know that in that seeking, Jesus will recognize our love and he will come to our house today. Salvation will come to us.